Click kaya959.co.za.
This is how we do it.
To download the Point of View podcast.
Talk Review with Pimelo Modene.
On the street.
On the air.
One page at a time.
So we have in studio none other than Refilwe Modisele, who is not just a model as you know her to be and all sorts of other wonderful things, but is an author. Is an author of this incredible book. Refilwe, I have to just congratulate you on this. And I know it sounds a little bit like you've heard this before.
No,
but it's so such a gorgeous book. And I mean it in every sense of the word, not just visually.
Okay.
But the story is so amazing.
Thank you.
It's amazing because it deals with a very important subject.
Mm.
But it's not preachy. And Mm-mm. it's not heavy.
Mm-mm.
And it's not it's not laden with pity.
Yes.
You know?
And it's not I-A-E-O-O.
It's not shame.
But it's not also I-A-E-O-O.
No, it's not. So I was thinking, okay, I was saying to my producer, oh, I'm going to buy this for a lot of young people I know, all the little people I know. What age group would you say would be great to have this book?
Age group is for 4 to 12.
Mm.
But because obviously it's like primary school level,
yeah.
Which was very deliberate. But it actually borderline is for everybody and anybody
wants
to read.
Absolutely.
Even with the adults, you know.
Absolutely.
I think I was deliberate in making it the idea of bringing back the magic of reading for an adult as well. Because I was brought up in a home where we used to read, you know, because my father was very stern on reading. It was part of the Reader's Digest Club. So it was something available was from home, the whole reading aspect. And I thought how beautiful it is as an adult to sometimes actually find an escape away from the seriousness of life and remind yourself of being a child all over again.
So the book is called Zizi's World Through Her Vanilla Eyes.
Yes, ma'am.
How close is the story to your own personal story?
It's inspired by my own personal story, but married with the experience of any other person with albinism as well. So I maybe sometimes might have a unique experience to albinism versus just a typical person, you know, I mean, typical when I say who is not a Refilwe, you know. But I had to kind of, the majority of it is inspired by my own story, but marrying the holistic experience of a person with albinism as well. It was very important for me to do that.
When did you decide you want to pen this kind of thing?
I didn't decide to pen it. Destiny has a way of just finding itself at your doorstep when God says it's time for you to really do something that meaningful. So the opportunity came to my table. Like literally, Lingua Franca sent me an email. Who are the publishers? They sent me an email in January and they said, hey, we usually identify certain people we'd love to work with and we think you'd be incredible. How would you feel about writing a book? And I thought, a book? Wait, pause a little bit. A book? I've always been told to write a book.
Really?
Yes, I've always been told. The majority of my life, I've been told to write a book. But I think I respect writers and authors just all around, that I've always felt like if I were to write an autobiography type book, I would then do it in the latter of my life, where I feel like, you know, I'm elderly, I can do a tell all, you know, I'm relaxed, I'm completely unapologetic of whatever it is that I need to write in that book, and just to that sense of like zen and maturity. But lo and behold, when it's God's time, it's God's time, and it does not pick the form of what he wants to relate to you. He wants to relay to people through you.
So a couple of things pop at one when you go through this book and you read this book.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, as you said, it's the story. The story works. It's it's a beautifully crafted story.
Thank you.
But you've also done something quite special, and this is something that I'm appreciating more and more with books for children, is your illustrations. There was a time. There was a time when African people on illustrated books all looked this kind of orangey color. Ne? And you asked and wondered, okay, did either the software didn't have the color, the right color, the artist not quite know how to tell, you know, the difference between this is not normally what people look. Sure. What is this color, this orange color that nobody I know has, right? But because, you know, you don't see... Or at the time, you didn't see many African people being properly depicted in our literature books, especially illustrated nicely.
Yeah.
I just thought this was so beautifully done.
Shout out to Thabiso Gqwentse.
Yeah.
He did an incredible job as an illustrator to put, you know, the images together. I think essentially, because what happened is that Lingua Franca had more of the control over that.
Yes.
My biggest thing was...
illustration.
Get ZZ correct.
Because, my goodness...
peeve was get ZZ correct.
Pigmentation, right? Everything.
Absolutely. Because if you think about it, there's never been albinism-based books.
Yes.
And this was, I don't want to say a pilot to a certain degree, but it really is, and especially when you think of just African literature, right? Because it is a black company that's doing this. And it was just important for me to also get the representation right.
Mm.
I wrote this book, yes, because I wanted to see myself being represented and any other child with that difference to be represented. Mm. But if we're going to do it, let's try and do it to the best of our ability, as close as possible as we can, so that a child can see themselves through ZZ and not feel like, oh, but... there's nothing for me.
And there was something else, apart from the representation, which is very important. This book looks like candy. Can I just tell you?
Oh, my gosh.
This book says, eat me. It says...
oh, honey.
It says modern. It says, pick me. It's like candy.
It's like that je ne sais quoi.
It's like candy. It's like I want to eat it all up. It's got all these... it just pops.
But that's the idea. Yeah. Like when you look at something and it's beautifully packaged, apart from just being beautifully packaged, but it's that essence of, I think, I don't want to say we had a point to prove, but all around just as a team, black excellence was just the thing. It was pushing out a project which is the first of its kind in the country, in the continent, and possibly for the world, if you actually have to think about it. And it was just, I just kept saying, can we just
do it right?
Push. Like, Lingua Franca is already incredible at what they do because they are the leading publishers for children's books. But I think they were just as inspired to bring out something that they too were inspired by.
Hmm. Let's talk about the story. Because, I mean, this is actually ultimately the issue here. The story, Zizi's story. And I think for me, what was endearing about the book and the story is how personable she is. So, yes, this is a child living with albinism, but the story could relate to any other child feeling different. You know what I mean?
That was also deliberate.
You have to be someone living with albinism to appreciate this. It doesn't have to be that way. You can simply give this to any child and the principles and the values remain the same.
That was deliberate. Mm. Because for me, yes, I always say to people, yes, it's albinism themed, right, at the top. But it is a book that highlights any difference, and that's what I wanted. I wanted to teach children to embrace each other's differences. The same way where if an adult reads that book, they'll be able to tap into their psyche as well and think about the kind of person that they are in this world. So for me, the bigger encompassment of it was humanity overall.
And you are dealing with a lot of other... there are other characters that I love, by the way.
Who did you love?
I loved two characters.
Who did you love?
Not the obvious ones. I loved Zizi's best friend.
Rory.
Rory. I loved him. I wanted him to give me one of his chocolates. Because he says to
and Rory is actually based off of my real best friend.
Really?
Like, yeah, but as an adult, Rory, not as a child.
Rory
yeah.
is the friend that comforts someone, Zizi, who's new at school.
Yeah.
And you know, all he can say is that have a chocolate, pick anything from
Absolutely.
My lunchbox.
Yeah,
you'll feel
hilarious.
Better. You'll feel better. And then Zizi says, oh, no. You know, can I have a chocolate? Listen, girl, I've got like hundreds of chocolates.
I'm filthy rich.
So don't worry about that. Have a chocolate. You'll feel better. I loved him. And I loved the little gestures that could teach children how to be kind.
Absolutely.
Even when they don't have the language. Because I think that for me was the endearing part.
Absolutely.
He didn't have the sophisticated language to explain, I know what's happening with you. He did what children do. Do you want a sweetie? Have a chocolate, okay?
Yeah.
And I think you're cool. And that's it.
Exactly.
And that's
he didn't really point out the difference the way like, the and classmates this, had done it, and for him he was just like, look, I really like, I really don't get
this
it.
This look is cool.
Because that's the thing, you know, because you get different kids all around, and it was just important for us to also highlight that there are children who are very oblivious to certain things.
Yes.
And for them it doesn't matter based off of maybe the home that they come from or how it is that they've been introduced to certain things in the world.
Mm.
Rory doesn't know of a person called albinism,
but
you find that he's from a background, maybe because of his own personal difference that we don't know of.
Yes.
That makes him just gravitate towards Azizi and just be like, yo, I really don't understand what we're fussing over here.
Yeah.
To me,
you look cool. You look cool, man. I think this is cool.
Exactly.
I liked him because I loved the innocence of a child, as you're saying.
Yeah.
You didn't complicate this whole thing by forcing this other thing on him. He was just beautiful.
What Azizi needed.
Yes. I also loved the teacher.
Miss Love.
Yes.
Very intentional as well.
What I liked about the teacher was that she also wasn't perfect in the sense that...
she knew.
Yeah.
She wasn't cognizant immediately of what was happening.
Exactly.
And that was
she
deliberate
She had to go
as well.
Back and think about
after the
my
parents
role,
addressed the situation.
Absolutely. My role in all of this. In fact, it made me think of a story that has been in the news currently where there's a child that was bullied in the bus. You probably have seen it.
Mm.
It's gone viral. Mm. But the issue that has come up is how the bus driver never intervened. You know, children can be cruel and things are happening.
Yeah.
How come the adult in the room never said stop?
Thank you.
And I love that this teacher herself was not perfect. She never said stop.
Yeah.
But upon reflection, came back to correct her mistakes.
Absolutely.
As a teacher. And it's not an obvious mistake. It's not a mistake. It's a...
It's a bit of an oversight.
What's my role here?
Yeah.
What's the opportunity I have?
And that was also on purpose. That was on purpose why I did that. And I did that because I wanted educators to remember their responsibility or their roles in shaping the children.
Mm.
I wanted the essence of reminding why it is they are in that vocation.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah. Teachers have lost their thing. Like they've lost... their thing. And I can understand we all have frustrations, right?
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, things begin at school as well. As much as, yes, they begin from the home. But home is also in the school.
Oh, no. And you know, at this age, for my 5-6, your teacher is everything.
Absolutely.
Miss whoever said, if you tell
Absolutely.
The child at home, no, but Miss whoever said.
Exactly.
Miss Love said we must do it this way. No, but Miss Love said. So it's important.
Yeah. It was important to remind educators of the responsibilities that they played. It was important for them to remind the essence of why it is that they're doing what they do.
Mm.
Because I feel like that culture has been lost. So Miss Love is also a very important representation in the book to say, Harry Hopuleng as Batu. Let's remind ourselves of who we are so we can get back to a better society as well.
So those are my two favorite characters.
I love that.
But I think you also touch on some sensitivities. that I think are difficult to talk about.
Absolutely.
Family dynamics that I think are hard to admit to, because no one wants to say my family's not perfect.
Yes.
You know, you, all of us want our families to be perfect, but they're not. Mm-hmm. And that recognition that even in the family, whether you have a gay child, whether you have whatever it is, anybody different,
there's always going to be
right in the, not outside, in the family, you'll have little funny comments. Ooh, why are we working myself?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Gang, what's on
gang? Gang, all that. And.
How please? Why uki someone now also? What's the langkangwa now? Hebatung king janu.
And it's in the home.
Yes.
It that happens in our families. Mm-hmm. You have where you're supposed to be completely loved. You still have people
that
who
have a lot
still
to say.
Do that.
Yeah.
And these are family members.
Yes.
And these are people you are supposed to love back.
Yes.
And they too don't have the.
The education,
the wisdom to be better and be kinder.
Yeah, and I had to bring that to the forefront as well. I mean, I have the opposite. I have a family that was very loving and supportive. The same way where I, when I came home or my mom brought me home, my grandmother said, but in loving context as Mutswadi, to say to her own daughter, "I never want to see this child in a dustbin." Mm. That was my grandmother. Mm. And not because my mother did anything.
Or was going to.
No, absolutely not. It was that love, you know. But I think all around, because of the matriarch that she had, it was something that was instilled in everybody. Obviously, yes, maybe in the background, people had their own little things to say, never in my face. But I never remember a moment where my aunts and my uncles or my cousins treated me funny or anything. It was just balanced all around. I experienced more of, I experienced more of the hardship outside of the home. You know, the prejudice was coming from outside the home and never in my family. But for me, in this book, I needed to relay the story of another child who might have not had the loving environment. To say that, as family, you're responsible. You're responsible for how a kid comes out. As much as you say that it's mom and dad, but you also as an aunt and an uncle, if there's no parent there, then what? What role are you playing?
You begin that journey at a very important space, because I think, again, we miss the opportunity that an environment like a hospital, it's duty.
Yes.
In that two, three minutes of how the doctor, the nurses engage with you, you know, that could change your entire life.
Absolutely.
Because, yes, you know, we don't want to admit that could be a shock. No one anticipated that.
Absolutely.
Oh, your child may be slightly different, because no one would have known.
Yeah.
But that first, those first minutes, how the doctor or the nurse reacts to what they are seeing and how they help you understand it, could be the difference between what is a good long life and a good relationship with that child or not.
And that was important to bring to the forefront, because I realized, and it's funny because I did a podcast with doctors to actually say, I was born in a time frame where doctors weren't really, didn't really have the finesse or the care, because they hardly came across certain situations.
They don't want to connect.
Like,
they don't want to connect.
Absolutely. So it was one of those things to say, perhaps if we also instill the education via a book like this, we are then making also doctors cognizant of how they should treat sensitive situations. Yeah. I come from an era where there was no sensitivity. And yes, we are more awakened to things. We are more, you know, we're more in tune with a lot of things. But it's like, let's also remind the doctors their responsibility in the role that they play to make better parents, or how they treat individuals, in terms of empowering them in their situations, if it is a unique situation or a difficult situation.
You can be so proud. You can be so proud. The book is called Zizi's World Through Her Vanilla Eyes by Refilwe Mudisele. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Kialewa, thank you so much. And I love you.
We're out of here. We'll be back tomorrow at 8.
Click kaya959.co.za.
This is how we do it.
To download the Point of View podcast.